Good afternoon and welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm glad you could join me for another hour of conversation, community, and some great music. And the radio station is CJMQ 88.9 FM, better known as The Cube. I'm your host, Maureen. On today's show, I'm pleased to welcome guest Jackie Foster, a local writer based in Sutton whose passion is memoir writing, capturing life's experiences, reflections, and stories that connect us all. We'll hear part one of the interview in part one of today's show, and we'll listen to part two of the interview in the second part of my show today. As always, we'll also keep you up to date with community announcements, share some health news, and of course, enjoy some wonderful music along the way. And to get us started, we'll hear a song by Mumford & Sons featuring Chris Stapleton, and the song is called Here.
Here's my final serenade. Here's a gun and here's a blade. Here's a picture that I saved for too long. Here's my credit card and keys, and the reason I won't find peace. Here's a song I should not complete for too long. Well, here's my pride and here's my shame. Here's a trophy that bears my name. Here's all the mistakes I made for too long. Here's the answers I never gave. Here's the calls I should have made. Here's the substance that I crave all along.
Here's my vision, here's my aim. Here's my address and the ones I blame. While you're sitting taking names, I just want to belong. Here's my lonely serenade. Here's a gun and here's a blade. Here's a picture that I saved before you were gone.
And here's my pride and here's my shame. Here's a trophy that bears my name. Here's all the mistakes I made for too long.
Welcome Jackie Foster, a writer who explores both memoir and fiction in her work. Through her writing, Jackie reflects on personal experiences, memoirs, and the moments that shape who we are, while also allowing space for creativity and imagination. Today she'll be sharing a reading from her work, actually a couple of readings, and talking to us about her writing journey, her inspiration, and what draws her to tell stories in such a meaningful way. And we'll hear part one of the conversation in part one of my show today, and we'll go on to part two in the second part of my show. Lynn Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm really pleased to welcome writer Jackie Foster to the Townships at 12. Now, Jackie is based in Sutton, so welcome, Jackie.
Thank you for having me.
So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your writing journey?
Well, I consider myself an amateur writer because I just love writing and I love reading good writers. I don't suppose that I'm as good as my idols, but boy, do I love being able to turn a phrase when I can.
That is wonderful.
I started writing when I was very young, but only started taking it relatively seriously since I moved to Sutton.
Okay.
And joined a book club and a writing club.
Mm-hmm. And what's the name of the writing club?
Well, we've named it Writers, Inc.
Okay, that's a good name. Now, you write memoirs. What draws you to that form of storytelling?
Oh, because it's what we know best, right? I try fiction, but I think that writing memoir is more poignant because it's what I feel more acutely, more strongly, more vividly. So, yeah, I'm drawn towards memoir in that sense. I do try to stretch my writing exercise to fiction, but I'll share a piece of fiction with you and we'll see what you think.
Okay. Now, writing about personal experiences can be powerful, but also it's vulnerable. How do you approach that balance?
As openly and honestly as I can. I think that's what makes my memoir feel that much more authentic and effective.
Okay. And how do you decide which parts of your life to share and which ones to keep private?
I think once you commit to writing memoir, I don't keep much private anymore. Everything is open for discussion. So everything is on the table in one way or another at some point or another. I change names, for example, when I'm recounting things that happened in my teaching career or in my with other relationships. I change names to be fair. Not everyone wants to be open and honest, but I am very open and clear that about my role in my memoirs.
That's interesting. When you sit down to write, where do you usually begin? With a memory, a feeling, or a specific moment?
All three. And sometimes I sit down with a blank page and just write gobbledygook for two or three pages until something appears, until something materializes. Then I just go with it. And sometimes that has been the most effective technique.
Okay. Do you have a regular writing routine or do you write more when inspiration strikes?
I would like to have a more regular routine, but I don't. I can write late at night, early in the morning. I still work full time, so my time is not my own. So I tend to write when I'm inspired to do so. Usually when an emotion is particularly triggered.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You also dabble in fiction. What does fiction allow you to explore that memoir doesn't?
The unknown. Where am I going with it? My own imagination. Where am I going with what I want to create, an image I want to create or a story that doesn't exist already? I read once a long time ago that a cliche is anything we've heard before, not just an expression, but anything that's already been said or written. And I never forgot that. And so I try very hard not to be trite in what I write. I guess we can't avoid it, but so fiction is my attempt to explore what I don't already know.
Mm-hmm. Do your real life experiences ever find their way into your fictional work?
Yeah, of course. We still can't help but write about what we know. So yes, but I think calling it fiction allows me to take some creative license with some of the things that I write.
Okay. Are you ready to read a piece for us, Jackie?
Sure. I think I'll start with, this is a memoir, a short one, about when I was a vice principal.
Oh, okay.
I spent a short time as a vice principal in a high school. And this one is called The Math Teacher. I lifted the phone from its cradle, poised to leave a message on yet another answering machine. There had been a string of suspensions that morning, and I was about to make the final required contact with parents. As I punched in the first few digits, a seventh grader rushed into my office, slamming the door open. Miss Foster, you have to come see what he's doing now. I replaced the receiver and pushed away from my desk. Emma, what are you doing here? What are you doing out of class? I knew who Emma was referring to. She had been sent down to my office several times over the past 2 weeks for what her math teacher referred to vaguely as bad behavior. Emma always protested adamantly that she was not a troublemaker in class, but that she was the only one who stood up to him directly when he yelled at her for no good reason. She served her detentions with staunch defiance, insisting that she was innocent. It's okay, miss. I know you have to back up Mr. Devant. He's the teacher, but it's not fair. Granted, he usually neglected to file his exclusion reports after class, so I have no way of knowing what had really occurred in his room. I began to suspect that there might be some truth to Emma's assertions and vowed to have a chat with Mr. Dumont, but I hadn't yet gotten around to it. Emma, did Mr. Dumont kick you out again? What happened? No, miss, come! Just come and see what he's doing now! Emma led the way out of the school office, holding the door impatiently for me as I trailed behind her. Down the hall, around the corner, up the stairs to the second floor, she jogged ahead, then stopped, hopping from one foot to the other as she waited for me to catch up, sprinting ahead again and waiting for me until we finally arrived together at room C-235. Through the closed door, it sounded as though a raucous wedding reception was in full swing on the other side. I knocked politely. When no one answered, I pushed the door open and took in the scene before me. Half a dozen boys raced each other from chairs to desktops, jumping over students who screamed in mock terror. Notebooks, pencil cases, and textbooks sailed through the air, landing in heaps beneath the dusty chalkboard or somewhere outside the open windows from which hung a group of 12-year-olds yelling obscenities at passing pedestrians. Several kids stood in the middle of the room, hurling sharpened pencils at the ceiling, hurrahing whenever a successful shot embedded the lead tip in the plaster tiles overhead. A posse of girls sat in a corner brushing each other's hair, applying makeup and showing off dance moves. Where was the teacher? Emma grabbed my arm and turned me towards the back of the room. You see, miss? You see? Look what he's doing now! Emma hollered over the noise, pointing at her math teacher. Indeed, the scene was disconcerting. Mr. Dumont was leaning back against the far wall, feet slightly apart, arms crossed, eyes closed, head down. He was oblivious to me as he rocked back and forth, banging his shoulders against the wall to the rhythm of a drum only he could hear. A few seconds passed before the various groups of children registered the presence of the vice principal in the room. Bodies scattered from all corners, landing noisily in seats, chairs screeching an end to the party. 30 sets of eyes wavered between Emma, the teacher, and me. At the same moment, Mr. Dumont seemed to awaken from his trance. You, open your book! You, shut up! You, do your homework! He jabbed his finger in the general direction of the three nearest students, who immediately erupted in noisy protestations. I leaned over and whispered in Emma's ear, Emma, go down to the office. Ask Mrs. Parsons to send up Mr. Thayer. He's on break in the teacher's lounge. Go quickly. Emma scurried out of the room as Mr. Dumont turned his attention to me. They're savages! They don't listen! They don't want to learn! They don't want to do their homework! They're rude! They talk back to me all the time, and I can't get them to pay attention. I placed a gentle hand on his forearm and guided him towards the door and through to the corridor. Please wait here, Philip. As I turned to re-enter the room, Emma came bounding up the stairs with Mr. Thayer huffing and puffing behind her. I thanked him for coming and pointed to the open door and the 30 pre-adolescents who could barely contain their glee. For a change, the students had managed to kick the teacher out.
Okay. What does that piece mean to you personally, Jackie?
It's an illustration of many, many, many incidents in high school, in secondary school. And in this case, it was a situation of a teacher who was in a classroom that he shouldn't have been in. He ought not to have been teaching that class because he had very clearly stated that he wasn't able to teach that class. And at the same time, the children being accused because they're not being engaged, and then they're being accused of being troublemakers, and so there's just so much so much injustice that can be happen in a classroom if we're not careful. And we're dealing with human beings, and we're not dealing with little robots or machines. And so there's just so much that can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope listeners take away from this writing?
Just a greater understanding of what the kids, but also the school system is dealing with. You think when you're sending your child off to school that they're just going to sit in the classroom and learn their ABCs, and that's not always what's happening.
Mm-hmm. It's a real eye-opener, that's for certain. Are there certain themes you find yourself returning to in your work?
Well, recently I have been writing little snippets, memories of my time in the classroom and as vice principal. And it's usually the things that are shocking, the things that are just don't make sense. And it sort of pulls the veil away, pulls the screen away from what everyone thinks. I know that the time that I spent as vice principal, I learned that as a teacher, I only ever saw about 10% of what the administration was actually doing. Most everything that they're doing is behind closed doors, and the teaching staff isn't even aware of most of what's going on, most of the things that they're dealing with.
That is certainly a real eye-opener. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you. St. Francis Elementary School in Richmond is proud to present the 22nd edition of Babies and Kids Bazaar, taking place on Saturday, May 9th, 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the school, located at 355 College Street South in Richmond. This student-led event highlights both community engagement and environmental responsibility. The gymnasium will feature up to 40 tables offering gently used children's items, as well as unique products from local vendors and entrepreneurs. In the cafeteria, visitors can browse a wide selection of gently used books in both English and French for all ages and purchase delicious treats off the bake table. Admission is free. Each visitor will receive a free door prize coupon. The event is organized and led by grade 5 students who are developing entrepreneurial skills while promoting reusing and buying local funds raised through table rentals, and the bake sale will support their end-of-year field trip camping to Riviere Nicolet in Watton. Those interested in selling can rent a table for $15 or two for $25, with clothing racks available for $5. Setup is simple and support is provided to ensure a smooth and enjoyable experience. For more information or to register online, please visit the Facebook page St. Francis Babies and Kids Bazaar. Mother's Day Weekend Spring Market, happening at the Hut, 300 St. Francis Street in Lenoxville on Saturday, May 9th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Style makes an impact. Fashion show fundraiser coming up, an evening of style, community, and purpose. Enjoy wine and cheese in good company. Saturday, May 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Haskell Opera House located in Stansted, Quebec. Tickets are $30 per person and must be purchased in advance. All proceeds from this event will go directly to the CAB Redeker, helping support individuals and families in our community. You must be 18 years and over to attend the event. The Grace Village Care Foundation ensures that every senior can live with dignity, security, and peace of mind, regardless of financial circumstances. Many of the residents have shaped our bilingual community and contributed to its growth. When unexpected financial challenges arise, the foundation ensures they can continue to call Grace Village home. On June 27th, they will be hosting their annual fundraising gala, bringing together community leaders, partners, and supporters. This cornerstone event raises essential funds to sustain and expand their support for residents facing financial hardship. They are looking for partnerships. If you are interested to support seniors in our community while providing meaningful visibility and alignment with a trusted and respected local institution, please go to the Grace Village website. I would like to thank my guest and the first part of today's show, local writer from Sutton, Jackie Foster. We will hear the second part of my interview with Jackie in the second part of my show today. But first, we will take a break and hear the news with Derek Bullard, and then we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12. We will close this part with the song called Just Wait a Minute. It's by Alicia Bureau. You're listening to the Townships at 12 with me, your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and the station is CJMQ 88.9 FM, the voice of the townships.
This is how it's supposed to be, the life we always chose to see. Always make the most of me and care for my heart. Can't imagine a different day. The sun that smiles persistently. I know that while you're here with me, it'll never be far. Just wait a minute, 'cause my heart is full to the limit, and you got me so stuck in it. If I can't love you, I'm here for whatever. And you know I'm cool under pressure, but it's just so good together. If I can love you, life's feeling so promising. Words that we've been honoring, blossoming while you're in my arms. You're in my arms. Throw that I was yearning for. Found what I've been searching for. I could never ask for more than you as you are. Just wait a minute, 'cause my heart is full to the limit, and you got me so stuck. But it's just so good.